Here we are in the Congressional Corner with Richie Neal. I know that I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to. My friend, Richie Neal, who once introduced me to Elizabeth Warren. And Elizabeth Warren was very nice because Richie was nice to me, and she kissed me on the cheek. That's almost enough to make me, Richie, to make me a lifelong fan. I take it you're still in the Elizabeth Warren corner.
Yes, she's been a longtime friend of mine, and she has from time to time sought my counsel, and I'm always happy to provide it. I was, you know, the first one to support her in the congressional delegation when she ran for the United States Senate. So we have a good friendship. Good friendships include the fact that you will disagree from time to time, but no, I think that she is an individual who's always had the citizen and the consumer at the top of her agenda, and that's really important.
She's always been regarded as a progressive. Are you a progressive?
Yes. I don't know how anybody could disagree with. I mean, how many people in Congress can say they voted against the war in Iraq? I was one of very few. I mean, the Bush tax cuts, the Trump tax cuts, but most importantly, got up and spoke against those issues. And I think that my words would have been tested, and I think that the public responded. If you recall that they voted in Iraq, for example, that was overwhelmingly unpopular in the district, but I thought that it was the right position to take, and I think the time has certainly borne out the position that I assumed on it. And I think that you measure effectiveness simultaneously with advocacy and ideology.
Okay, so let me read you some of your opponents' criticisms of you, and you can answer them. As I say, I wouldn't want to be in a position where people take shots at me, although I have to say they do from time to time. Let's go. So tell us your response. He says you don't support Medicare for all.
I have taken the position that we ought to have universal access and that we ought to build upon the Affordable Care Act. I helped to write that act. That is Barack Obama's position. And I think that for Massachusetts hospitals and a healthcare system in Massachusetts that is the envy of the world, we want to be very careful how we go forward. That is not opposition to Medicare for all. It's more of a position. Let's adopt an evolutionary position as we get there and making sure that there's universal access. Example, every child in Massachusetts right now is covered. 97% of the adults in Massachusetts right now are covered. And if it's his position that we ought to offer universal care and charge it to the taxpayer, why hasn't he done that for Holyoke City employees?
Yeah.
I mean, it strikes me as if you want to be consistent, and I think in this atmosphere there's a handful of issues or a handful of positions that will be adopted, and it's really vacuous rhetoric, and I think that the public understands that from him.
Okay, so let me try another one. He says you take too much corporate money.
Well, if you look back at the campaign statements that he has filed, it certainly strikes me that there's enormous opportunities that he's had to receive corporate money as well. And I think that the better example here when you asked about progressive credentials, the Holyoke Public Schools, Alan, are in receivership. He missed half of the school committee meetings in the city of Holyoke while they fell into receivership. I met with him. And he was asking me for some advice long before he was interested in running for Congress. And I said to him, why don't you assemble business, labor, citizenry, and turn the schools around? Why don't you accept the responsibility and say, this is how you're going to build a legacy? Well, the Holyoke Public Schools are still in receivership. And I guess that you would make the argument that while he's out campaigning, that there still is no effort made on his part to do anything about it. And I tend to believe that you don't succumb to the criticisms that you receive on a daily basis when it's me. But I do think that if progressivism in this instance means that the poor children of the Holyoke Public Schools don't count, well, let me tell you, I was chairman of the Springfield School Committee, and the schools never fell into receivership. I can assure you of that.
So just so everybody understands, the mayor has a role to play in Massachusetts in the school committees, right?
That's correct. I was chairman of the school committee, and I believe he's a chairman of the Holyoke School Committee as well.
And he misses a lot of these meetings, is what you're saying?
He missed half of the meetings of the Holyoke School Committee while the schools fell into receivership.
Okay, let's go on. He says, you haven't been available for town halls and meetings in the district. Now, I know that. I live in Great Barrington. You're a very familiar face. So what about that?
I've been available all over this congressional district. There are 87 cities and towns, 750,000 people. and I'm regularly out and about. And I think that that has been an isolated criticism that he's offered, when in fact, how can you not be available for school committee meetings at Holyoke and then criticize somebody else for not being, in your judgment, available for meetings at town halls? I don't understand the logic there.
He says you're too reluctant to embrace impeachment. How about that?
Well, I outlined earlier that I support the speaker's position, which I think is legitimate. I think that she's managed this in a very fair manner. I noted earlier that opinion is important, and people have to understand that for this process, which is inherently political, to be successful, that you have to acknowledge that some of it has a political overtone to it. And I think that she waited until that phone call with the Ukrainian prime minister, and she drew at that moment the conclusion that it was time to proceed. I asked for the president's tax forms almost immediately, and I said the day after the last election that I was going to do that. So I think that part of the value that he's suggesting here is really about entertainment. And this notion that you could proceed with impeachment before public opinion supported it, I think would have not been helpful to the Democratic Party as well as to the country.
There's that New York law they passed it, which some people say demanded that he give his stuff to Ways and Means, and you didn't follow through on that, his tax returns. Yes or no?
Oh, no. Doug Letter, who is the House counsel, who, by the way, only assumed that position on January 3rd, Doug Letter has argued before the Supreme Court. He has sought pro bono help from a couple of good outside law firms, and he has advised me patiently and regularly as to how to proceed. He indicated from day one that our court case was in the federal court in Washington, and that as much as we might be tempted by the argument over the New York state taxes, we have no jurisdiction over those tax forms. And in fact, if we were to receive those tax forms, then in fact, they would be redacted in many versions. So I follow the House counsel here, not a guy who's running for Congress who, as I said earlier, can't make it to school committee meetings.
Would you like to see Donald Trump impeached and convicted?
Well, I think that the argument here is, why don't we look at it this way? I think that the House has a responsibility here. And the responsibility that the House has to do is to conduct a public inquiry. And I am a supporter of Adam Schiff. He's a good friend of mine. I think he's handled this splendidly. And if we come to the conclusion that he does after his investigation, that that's where we should be, that's where I will be.
And finally, the impeachment and arrest of Giuliani's associates. Giuliani isn't looking too good here, is he?
No, he's not. And I think that one of the real tragedies of all of this is that after 9-1-1, he became a very popular figure in American lore. And I think that at that time, you could spend a lot of the capital that you had earned in terms of promoting good causes. And I think that he succumbed to the entertainment value of the Trump White House. And he has now fallen into that sphere. And I would think that his reputation now has been much diminished because of that.
Thank you, Congressman Richie Neal, my friend. I say it unashamedly, and my congressman, so appreciate your being with us. I know how busy your schedule is. We're going to get together one more time, and I got a couple of other questions to ask you.
Thanks, Alan.